All right, it is Mason and Ireland, Ramona in for Mace. Ramona with a 3 o'clock growl. Michael Thompson's hanging out with us. Michael and I are excited. We get to call Lakers Celtics tonight in Staples Center with fans.
How many fans?
At least 2,000, Michael. This is kind of a pilot program test tonight. But, Michael, I'm glad you're here because I was trying to explain earlier. I didn't want to come off, and I know you have the same concern. I didn't want to come off as whiny or ungrateful that we were getting to call the games at Staples Center. But, man, was it a different animal when there were no fans in the building. I just hated that aspect of it, didn't you?
Yeah, half the fun is gone. The games, I know the games count, and we're thankful that they're playing because it gives us something to watch, but it's just not the same. It's like having a picnic without any food.
Right. So I'm very, very excited that fans will be back in the building tonight, and we'll have the game for you here. Sliwa and Michael, Spock and the Jock, coming on at 5:30 with the pregame. Michael and I will pick up the network at 6:45, and we'll have opening tip at 7, Lakers-Celtics tonight at Staples Center. Now, let me ask both you guys something, Ramona and Michael. Kind of a sad story here today. LaMarcus Aldridge, who's a 7-time All-Star and who had signed after the Spurs let him go, and he'd signed as a buyout guy with the Nets. As a matter of fact, last Saturday, he started at center against the Lakers when Brooklyn lost to the Lakers in Brooklyn. He announced today he's retiring because of an irregular heartbeat. They tried to get it under control with some medication. It didn't work. So LaMarcus, who's had a great career, is retiring. Ramona, is that something or nothing in terms of the Nets' playoff hopes? Does that hurt them in any way?
I think it's something. Look, he was a guy that the Miami Heat wanted, the Nets wanted. They were playing him a lot of minutes. They were actually playing him at the expense of DeAndre Jordan. And you and I had talked a lot about this on the show of who was going to guard Joel Embiid. Well, the answer we got yesterday was DeAndre Jordan. Like, he came off of 5-9.
The answer we got yesterday was nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody. Nobody. You're right. DeAndre Jordan will try, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't think Aldridge was going to help them all that much against the Sixers, but he would have helped them in other series because – look, he's just a great guy, a great player in the low post.
Well,
he's
I was going to ask finisher. Michael, can I make an argument for Hall of Fame for LaMarcus Aldridge?
Okay,
Hall of Fame. He never won a championship, no gold medals. He made a few All-Stars games.
Seven-time All-Star.
The
problem is Dame, he had all of Portland's records when he left, but Dame is going to break all of those.
He's got a chance. He won't get in obviously first or second time, but he has a chance to squeak in someday.
Okay. There's two stories for people that don't know. Michael is in the University of Minnesota Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He was a former number one overall draft pick. You played for 4 years at Minnesota. As a matter of fact, the first coach that Michael played for there, you know, you've heard and read a lot about Eric Musselman, the great young coach at Arkansas who has coached in the NBA and coached at Nevada and just got a new 5-year deal at Arkansas. Michael played for Eric's dad, Bill, at Minnesota, who was known as a disciplinarian. Oh. Michael used to yell at you guys a lot, right?
He used to make us practice in weighted vests. Think about that. Weighted vests, Ramona. That's nuts.
Well, some people do that on purpose now. They're training.
Well, that's training. Well, who does that?
All right, so there's two stories about the NCAA that kind of broke this week that I want to get your guys' opinion on. The first one is the NCAA is now going to let all athletes transfer and play without sitting out a year.
About time.
So in the past, if let's say Michael's at Minnesota and he decides, I don't want to be here anymore, I'm going to go to Ohio State, he would have had to sit out a year and then he would be eligible to play for Ohio State the final season. Michael, the main reason they had that rule is they wanted kids to really think long and hard about transferring. Do they want to, if they really want to transfer, you can do it, but you have to sit for a year. And that's been the rule forever. Being reported by ESPN now that rule, they've let you do it in some of their sports, some of the smaller sports, but now football and basketball are going to let you transfer and play right away. Michael, what do you think of that?
50 years overdue. Coaches could switch teams, switch colleges, and work the next year. Why would you punish players? So it's about time.
Ramona, isn't that just going to make players leave like crazy?
So what?
Yeah, see, that's the part that I don't mind. Let me tell you the unintended consequences, though, okay? So when I went to school and we were on scholarship, it was you got year-to-year scholarships, and I'm pretty sure it's still that way in most colleges and with most sports.
I think you're right.
you think, oh, it's a 4-year scholarship. Not necessarily. They renew it year after year. And part of the reason they do that, one, most of the time it ends up being for 4 years anyway, but sometimes you go there, it doesn't work out, and after a couple of years, they cut bait. Well, the reason why it's not as pervasive is because, you know, once you sign there, if you have to transfer, it gives them time to sort of reallocate that scholarship. Now, if you're going to have, let's say there's five guys who want to transfer to a basketball team, you got to get them five scholarships, which means you're going to cut people's scholarships. You're going to cut five people's scholarships.
Yeah, you're right
there. And like, I just think it's just, there's a lot of unintended consequences to this. I'm all for athlete empowerment, being able to travel, to go and transfer wherever you want to. But I hope that we're considering the other side of this, which is, I don't want to see people's scholarships getting cut while they're, you know, with little notice because somebody else is transferring in, which is what will happen, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think there will be some unintended consequences. All right, the other story is something that I want to treat carefully because it's a sensitive subject, but it's interesting and it may change sports forever. The NCAA has decided to take a stand about transgender athletes. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, people that were in what we're going to talk about is, they were born as men, they decide to transition as women. Should they be allowed to compete as women in the NCAA? And the NCAA says they absolutely should. They've taken an unusual stance from one. They said, we're not going to let schools and buildings and states that don't recognize transgenders' full rights, and we're not going to have NCAA events there. In other words, they are going hard on, yes, if you are born a man and transition as a woman, then you will be allowed, as long as you go through the conversion and you take the hormone stuff for a year, you would be allowed to compete as a woman in NCAA events. And the reason I want to be careful about this is, if you've listened to the show long enough, you know that Mason and I had Mike Penner on the show once after he had transitioned. Mike was a sports writer in L.A., a good one, at the L.A. Times, transitioned to Christine Daniels. He came in studio with Mason and I and spent an hour with us as Christine. And it was eye-opening to both Mason and I because he talked about how hard of a decision that is, how people don't understand that it's, you know, it's your identity, it's eating up at you. And when he walked out of there, I just wanted to be completely and fully supportive and try and do what I could publicly to be nice and to be helpful. As it turns out, Christine struggled, transitioned back to Mike, and later committed suicide. So it was an incredibly sad story. And I'm always sensitive to, okay, ever since that event, I've said, I want to try and be as supportive of transgender people as possible because it's an incredibly traumatic and hard thing. Having said all of that, I see the other side of this too, that if somebody is born a man and they transition to being a woman and then they compete in women's sports, it's a tremendous advantage. Now, Ramona, you competed at Stanford. You played softball on a really good team that, you know, won national championships and played in the College World Series. Do you feel strongly one way or another about this, or are you like me and you need to kind of tread lightly and don't really know what to say?
I'm kind of like you. I feel like I want to be supportive. I want to feel like I'm not biased in any way. My instinct is I need to know more about the biology. Okay. And I think that's, I was reading this Washington Post article, just because every time this issue comes up, I go, okay, well, somebody tell me, is the testosterone that you're born with, have they done studies about, you know, has it created a biological advantage? Is suppressing it for a year enough? Now, this Washington Post story I was reading, it said, you know, this it's a growing field. The research is still coming in. Okay, we're still figuring this out.
Right.
But this is really coming to the forefront as an issue, not just at the NCAA level, but I think it's probably even more so at the high school level.
Well, and what about the Olympics?
At the Olympics, there's a lot of questions at the high school level, taking the hormone suppressing things that could be at that age. The younger you take it, there's other issues you have to consider. Is that safe to do it at that age? later on it might be safer. I need to
read
more about this.
It's not an open shift. Now, Lindsay, you're the one that found this story initially. Do you feel strongly about it one way or the other?
I think I'm in the same place as you guys. Because I think back to me being a high school athlete, and I don't know how back then I would feel about competing against a transgender athlete and losing to them because, you know, I think biologically we can all agree that males have somewhat of a, you know, they're just built differently than females.
Yeah, there's physiological advantages when you have testosterone, right?
Well, generally stronger, you know what makes what makes this a tough argument is, like, for example, let's say golf. There are women's tees and men's tees. Is someone who is born a man, does that give them advantages if you let them play off the women's tees? To me, not knowing all the science, like you were saying, Ramona, it gives them a huge advantage. Or, you know, one of Michael's favorite sports is track and field.
Yeah.
All the men's world records are faster than the women's world records. So if somebody was born a man and had, like, was blessed with just ridiculous speed, would it be fair to let that person, even in high school, college, or at the Olympic level, compete as a woman?
I think
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think that in, like, high school and college, I think, like you said, Ramona, as far as, like, what the, you know, the biology is with the hormone replacements and things like that, because I know at the more professional levels they do testing, and they will allow an athlete, a transgender athlete, in certain countries and certain sports. I don't know exactly which ones, but I listened to this Radiolab podcast about it, where they measure the hormone levels. And so if your hormone levels are on the same playing field and level as, you know, whether it's a transgender person competing in a women's sport or a girl's sport in high school, if your hormone levels are on the same level, then you can kind of justify it, I guess. But again, who knows if that's safe or not? I guess I don't know enough about it.
Guys, think about boxing. You know, would it be prudent? I can't think of a better word.
Safe. For a man to be hitting a man's strength, hitting on a woman in a boxing ring.
And to me, Michael, that's an easy answer. It's a no. You don't sanction that fight. But I don't want to be insensitive to people that are going through this incredibly traumatic thing. And if, you know, if they grew up a huge athlete and that's a big part of their identity, and then they transition to be a woman, who am I to say, no, you can't do it anymore? I don't know what the right answer is, but the NCAA has taken a stand. They've said, okay, we're going to support transgender athletes, and we want them to have the ability, even if they were born as a man, to compete as a woman.
Lindsay,
we'll keep an eye on this story and see where it goes.
Lindsay and Ramona, what do you think about this solution? See if this makes any sense at all. Because I saw an interview with some female track girls in high school who were against this because they say it affected them, because the races they would have won, they lost to the transgender athletes, right? And it affected their scholarship opportunities. So here's what I was thinking. If the transgenders are going to be allowed to compete against girls, if you're a college scout at a woman's event and she loses, comes in second or even third, a close second or third to the transgender, would it be logical or reasonable to say, okay, she lost to the transgender, but if she was going against the other girl, she beat the other girl, so I'm still going to offer her a scholarship? Does that make sense?
Well, here's why it doesn't. If you're allowed to take the transgender athlete, you want the fastest runner.
Right.
So that's who you offer the scholarship to.
So it does if the girls who are competing affect them.
Yeah. So that's what makes it really complicated.
Yeah. I mean,
we got traffic standing by, but we'll keep an eye on the story and let you know if anything new develops, but it is very, very complicated. And it's interesting. I think it's something a lot of people are going to be talking about.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin. And the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This week it's Momo in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne and Mace Michael Thompson's hanging out with us. We got Lakers Celtics tonight. Pregame at 5:30. Tip off at 7 o'clock. I wanted to ask you guys about this. Mark Wahlberg, the actor, speaking of Celtics, he's a big Celtics fan. Mark and his brother Donnie, all his brothers are Boston guys, says that for a movie role, he needs to get out of shape. So when he was on Jimmy Kimmel the other day, he said he's got a movie coming up called Father Stew, and he portrays a boxer. This is a boxer turned priest. And he says, after we do the boxing scenes, I get to put on as much weight as possible over the course of the movie. So I'm challenging myself to put on 30 pounds in the next 6 weeks. He said he plans on eating lots of burgers and buns to gain the weight and is looking for all the help he can get. He said they want me to eat as healthy as possible, but I'm like, I've been on such a regimen for so long, I just want to eat everything in sight. I want to go to bakeries. I want to go to Denny's. I want to eat pancakes. I want to eat everything I can possibly get my hands on. He said his first big meal could be a 20-piece chicken nugget and 20-piece hot wings from KFC with a six-pack of beer.
Yeah.
He noted he might indulge in a KFC 40-piece meal.
Wow.
But then added, I might need a porta potty to, you know, but I'm ready to go.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
All right, so Michael, but if you had to do this for a role,
yeah,
you had to gain 30 pounds, how would you do it?
Lindsay, Ramona, this is a man who's worth $300 million. Does he really need to do this for another role? Come on, this is ridiculous. For what? You got $300 million. Why abuse your body? You don't need this. I can see if it was some young actor, and this is his first big gig, but why are you going to do this for? And you don't need the money?
But here's my question, Michael.
What's the actual role he's doing it for?
He's going to win an Oscar? Yeah. He's a boxer that gets old and lets himself get fat, and that's it.
That might be a good role. Yeah.
So at first I thought, well, he could just wear a fat suit. But Michael, if he's playing a boxer,
he's got to just wear
boxing shorts. So he's probably got to actually gain the weight.
I mean, Lindsay and Ramon, if you guys had $300 million already, would you put on an extra 30 pounds just to make for a role? Would you do it?
Robert De Niro did it for when he played Al Capone in the Untouchables. Yeah, he gained 30 pounds.
I would guess, like Ramona said, maybe it's one of those roles where, you know, he's probably an A-list actor, but he doesn't have any Oscars, I don't think. So maybe it's one of those type of roles where you do, just like Matthew McConaughey with the Dallas Buyers Club. You know, mm-hmm. he went from the rom-com stud, yeah, and he lost a ton of weight, and he won an Oscar for it. So to him, I'm sure it was worth it.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, it I know how hard it was for me to lose 30 pounds. I mean, this is like I've been trying for 10 years to lose weight like that, I have the last year. Okay,
yeah, to you,
so
this is almost insulting.
The idea of putting it all back in, it's like insulting. It's like I understand, putting on 5 or 10 pounds for a role, but 30 is like. But he's probably so well conditioned and so good and disciplined that as soon as he puts it on, he could just take off 30 pounds, no problem. You know, to me, he'll probably just go right back on his regimen and do it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess he could knock it off, but I wouldn't do it.
And plus if you had to do it,
like I might, my first instinct would be, I'm eating a banana split every day, but that would drive your cholesterol through the roof. If you're Mark Wahlberg's got to be what, 50? That would be risky. Is there a healthy way, Michael, to gain 30 pounds?
Yeah, you could talk to some bodybuilders, and they could tell you what to eat, some nutritionists.
Well, those guys are probably taking steroids, right?
Well, you could do that, too. But no, he needs to look fat, though. He doesn't need to look chiseled.
Right.
But yeah, you could talk to some nutritionists, and they'll tell you what bad foods to eat, bacon and eggs and all that stuff. So yeah, we'll eat cheeseburgers, double cheese, go to a bunch of double-doubles.
I mean, Michael, I had this theory when I was doing – I tried Atkins once. And
no meat or no butt?
No carbs.
Okay. No carbs.
And I think it was really unhealthy, by the way, because most people would not do it the right way. Like most people would just Nevin used to go to Taco Bell and he would just take the burrito and throw away the tortilla and he would just eat all the inside. I was like, that's not healthy. He's like, yeah, but it's Atkins and I lose weight. I generally think that eating good food, it's gaining and losing weight. If you just eat good food, it's really about a portion, right? If you want to lose weight, you just eat less. If you want to gain weight, you eat more. But if you want to gain weight even faster, then you go eat junk food. And I actually don't want to hate on him because he's Man, he's been so disciplined. I've read about his workout routines. Like, he is.
Well, remember, didn't he used to be a Calvin Klein model?
Yes. Like, he works out every day.
He's 50 and he still has a six pack.
Six pack, eats so well. So, like, if he wants to just let loose and just go eat every piece of junk food in sight to gain some weight for this role, enjoy it, man.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what this. I guess, Michael, if I eat steak every day, but they say you shouldn't eat red meat
not every day,
right?
No, not every day. You can eat a lot of pasta. Pasta will put a lot of weight on you, you know. So you could do different things, but yeah, if I had $300 million, I wouldn't abuse my body like that for a role.
Michael, if you had to gain a bunch of weight, though, what would you eat?
Well, Michael, back when you played, when you were in your most fit, what did you weigh?
You seen the picture,
right? That's why I'm curious what you weighed then.
235.
Okay, so how'd you get to 235? Bodybuilding was a lot of it. What'd
didn't
you
matter.
Eat?
In the NBA, which I don't understand, Lindsay and Ramona, how guys could be overweight. We don't really see that many anymore, but we ran so much. We worked so hard in practice.
Yeah.
I lifted weights. I ate cheeseburgers. I ate steaks. I drank milkshakes, but I burned it off every day. So it didn't.
Yep.
And I was lifting 2 hours every day anyway, so I could eat whatever I wanted. And you saw how chiseled I got because of the cardiovascular stuff I was doing every day.
That's how I was in college, Michael. Like, my first year when I got to Stanford, I had never trained like that. And you know how people gain the freshman 15? I lost the freshman 15. And I was eating like three dinners a night. Like, I would go to the dining hall and I would have one dinner. And then I would make a chicken sandwich and I would wrap it up and I would eat that later. And then we would oftentimes order pizza late at night too. And I would still lose weight because we just ran so damn much.
Exactly.
Like, you can eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
Like, we'd go get fast food on the week, you know, like on the weekends we'd have a practice. We'd go, okay, let's go hit up whatever we want
right.
to eat. They were like, what do you want, Taco Bell or McDonald's? I'm like, both.
Yeah, we burned
it
off.
Whatever I want, I'm burning it off.
We burned it off every day.
For people who don't know, one of Ramona's teammates in college was Jessica Mendoza, the baseball announcer who was she a three-time All-American, Momo?
I think she's four. I mean, she every year.
So what was she like Kobe? Did she like work out like crazy or was she like Iverson? She was just naturally gifted.
She showed up like that, man. Now, later in her career, when she became an Olympian and later on, then she became a serious workout person. But in college, just straight natural ability.
Let me
tell you a Mendoza story.
Don't you call her the greatest player ever?
Oh, she's right up there. I would say her or Lisa Fernandez.
I was going to say, I went to UCLA. Lisa Fernandez has a similar resume.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll give Lisa over Jess, she was a pitcher.
Right.
Okay. She was one of the greatest hitters of all time, greatest shortstops. Greatest pitchers. So she got one over on Jess on that, right? Because Jess is a great outfielder and great hitter. Mm-hmm. But like what I would say about like Jess would show up and she's just amazing natural ability and I mean, she worked really hard. But like just this is just awesome, right? But she could eat whatever she wanted, and sometimes she kind of had to eat during the game. Like a lot of times she'd feel like weak during the game if she didn't
right.
eat. So her mom would just go to the snack bar and bring her a burger in the middle
what?
Of the game.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Michael, can you imagine that? Oh. Sitting on the bench, get me in it. Hey, Gary Vee, get me an In-N-Out.
I just need to eat something. And we'd be like, Jazz, you're almost up. She's like, okay, hold on. And then she'd just like eat her cheeseburger and just go up there and boom, get it out. And I'm like, man, you are amazing right now. Like, how do you just eat that cheeseburger and go out? And
yeah,
like,
okay. Wow.
That's good for her.
Yeah, I don't know. Some guys
drink Gatorade. Other people eat a cheeseburger in the middle of the inning.
Coming up next, and all three of you have to answer this, and I want to open the phones, all right? The rule with this question is you have to answer it. You can't say neither. You have to pick a side. That's the bit, okay?
Okay. All right, I'll pick a side.
It's an impossible hypothetical. All right?
This is ultimate John Ireland game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this
love
is.
It. It.
Somebody asked me this the other day, and I couldn't answer it, and I decided this would be great on the radio because it's so hard to answer. I want to ask Laker fans, all right? This question is directed at Laker fans. If, God forbid, the Celtics played the Clippers in the NBA Finals, who would you root for?
Wow.
Right? And you have to pick a side.
I know. 877-710-ESPN.
What is the right answer for a Laker fan to that question? 877-710-3776. It's an impossible hypothetical. coming up next. Still game of games to come. It's Michael's game today.
Mm-hmm.
He's got something lined up, and we'll tackle all that before we hand it over to Sedano, LZ, and Cap at the top of the hour. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for Mace, Michael hanging out, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne filling in for Mace. Michael Thompson's hanging out with us. Sedano, LZ, and Cap coming up at the top of the hour. All right, I call this, guys, the impossible hypothetical, and we'll take your calls at 877-710-ESPN. Ramona, you first. If you're a Lakers fan, and God forbid, the Celtics met the Clippers in the NBA Finals, and you have to pick a side. You can't say neither. You have to pick a side. Who are you rooting for?
This is not even close. You got to root for the Clippers.
Why?
Come on. This to me is like Pac-12, okay? I would root for Cal if they were playing in the World Series. I would, because you got to root for your conference. It's like, this is your city. This is L.A. Like, if you know, you can't worry. The Lakers and Celtics are tied with 17 championships. You can't let the Celtics get 18 before the Lakers. Like, you got to root for the Clippers. You got to have some confidence in your own abilities to get number 18 before the Celtics, besides worrying about the Clippers getting their first one. You got
Michael,
root for your city.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is an extremely difficult question for you. You bleed purple and gold. If you had to pick a side, Clippers, Celtics, what side would you root for?
It's easy for me. I don't have to think twice about it, and I'll explain why. Celtics.
Yeah. Whoa!
Think about it, Ramona.
Whoa!
If the Clippers won, Clipper fans would be so insufferable and obnoxious. If they won.
Oh, they definitely will.
And they'd act like their one championship is equal to or better than the Lakers' 17 championships.
True.
And we already know and accept that Celtic fans are insufferable and obnoxious. But at least Celtic fans are 2,611 air miles away.
Okay.
Where Clipper fans are right here. And they would be right in our face every day rubbing it in. And who needs that aggravation?
Lindsay,
are you
how about
you? You can't take it, Michael? Are you saying
no,
you
I don't want to hear it.
No.
You think I want to run into Clipper Darryl and he's going to be dancing around me like he's doing ring around the posy? No way.
Lindsay, what is the correct answer if you're
a Laker fan? I'm kind of with Michael because Boston fans are already so ridiculously annoying, and you wouldn't have to hear it unless you were in Boston or unless they were here. You'd only have to hear it like twice a year.
Exactly.
Jorge, what's the right answer?
I'm going Celtics, man. I'd rather go Celtics.
Yeah, we couldn't
you
take it.
You guys have no – okay, maybe it's just because I'm like – I have to cover both teams, man. Like
Ramona, when the Lakers were down those few years, did you see how obnoxious the Clipper – oh, this is the Clipper town now. This is the Clipper town now. Is that what you want to hear for the next year?
They talk, but they got nothing to show for it, man.
Right.
Okay.
Let them
so
talk.
If they win one, that's
all right.
Fun.
No,
I don't want to win one.
The fire under
this
you?
Is a
you
very difficult. This is a very difficult decision.
You got to root for your city.
Oh
this
please! You think the Clipper fans rooting for the Lakers?
No,
yeah,
they're
right.
Definitely not. Yeah, they're definitely not.
Thank you.
All right.
That's true.
I think Michael, you almost talked me into your side,
heck
but
yeah.
I'm with Ramona.
Why?
Hold on. I'm gonna text O'Shea. Let's see if he gets back to me.
Oh yeah, text O'Shea. He's a perfect guy to ask this question.
No, man, Clipper fans
here's
just...
Michael, here's why I'm with Ramona.
Yeah.
All right. Dr. Buss said that he could live with losing to anyone except the Celtics. The Celtics are our rival. The Celtics are the team that we measure ourselves against. If the Clippers won a title, it'd be our 17 to their 1. It'd be like when the Angels won the World Series that year. It didn't turn SoCal into an Angels town.
But they would act like they just won 17.
But we know they were all be posers, right?
So?
We have 17. The Celtics, though, they're the ones that I care about. You know, they're the ones who we measure ourselves against. When you played your greatest games, It was when all those Hall of Famers were out there against the Celtics.
Of course.
Okay, so you won two world championships with the Lakers against two unbelievably great teams. 87, you beat the Celtics. 88, you beat the Pistons. Doesn't the Celtics one mean more?
Oh, of course, because it's the Celtics. Of course.
That's why you can't root for the Celtics.
Well, I'd rather them win than see the Clippers win.
Really? All right, let's go to the phones. Here is Johnny on line one. Hey, Johnny, what's the right answer for, if you're a Laker fan and you had to pick a side, Clippers or Celtics?
This might be the easiest question in the world, okay? The Clippers are no threat to us. They have no championships. We have 24 million people in Southern California. The Clippers only have about 20,000 fans. So if they do win one, we're only going to see one of those fans popping off, like, you know what, once a month?
That's a good point.
Yeah, so, Johnny, I'm with you. I think
so
you've...
Absolutely. It's the Celtics. They are a threat to us.
All right, thanks, man. Here's Kenny in Palmdale. Hey, Kenny, what's the right side of this one?
I completely disagree with the last caller and John and Momo. I'm with Michael Thompson, 100%. I'll tell you why, John. I think the Celtic rivalry is a little played out now. I'm 44, and I remember the 80s rivalry there. That thing's done now, I believe. I'll tell you what I can't stand is the Clipper fan saying that this is their town.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
The disrespect of them covering up our banners in our home.
That's right, Ireland.
That is why they cannot win, Ireland.
You would,
Clippers,
Kenny, you would
never
root.
Get out of round two. That's what I want. Clippers never get out of round two.
All right. Thanks, Kenny. Sean in L.A. Hey, Sean, if you had to root for either the Clippers or the Celtics, where are you going?
Man, I was convinced it was Clippers. Now I'm a little torn. However, the Clippers are like the little brother who stays in the back house. We have the main house. They can come in and have some dinner at the kitchen table. Even if they win, they can even serve the dinner. We can serve it to them. But it's still our house. It's still our town. Clippers all day. We are going to go against the Celtics for the titles. Clippers don't have any. So it would be nice. We'd tap them on the back and say, good job, little brother. We'll get you guys back.
So Michael, okay, thanks, Sean. Michael, this is the way I compared. If you were competing against for an Oscar against Sidney Poitier or Kevin Hart.
Right.
All right?
I'd rather lose to Sidney Poitier. But even though Kevin Hart's good at what he does, too.
Yeah. It seems weird to me. Like, Sidney Poitier... It is who you measure yourself against.
True.
CJ in Northridge. Hey, CJ, if you had to pick one or the other, would you root for the Clippers or the Celtics?
Listen, I've heard everyone else speak. This question is even close. I am rooting for the Celtics.
Whoa!
I've been a Lakers fan since the beginning. Clipper fans are terrible. And I'll give you this comparison. You guys have seen the Avengers, right? You know, Thanos is in search of the Infinity Stones. He gets one, he's kind of strong. Two, he's kind of strong. When he gets all of them, he's unstoppable. Clipper fans will literally treat that one championship like getting all of the Infinity Stones.
Yes!
They will be unstoppable. Yep. And I can't let that happen.
Exactly.
It can't happen. So
you would make yourself root for the Celtics. All right.
Well, listen, the right answer, the truth is, John, you and I are not qualified to answer this. We have to listen to a former Laker, okay?
Yeah. Michael does have you.
I am not a Laker.
He carries the weight.
I cover the team. You talk about them every night, but Michael literally played in the purple.
What's interesting, Michael, is I think Dr. Buss would have gone the other way.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he just hated losing. All right, well, final word will go to Maurice in L.A. Maurice, if you had to pick a side as a Laker fan, either Clippers or Celtics, who would you make yourself root for?
This is easy money. I'd say the Clippers for sure, because I'd rather have most of the championships in the league compared to our little Clippers having won. I bet you no one would even celebrate the championship in the city. The Lakers fans wouldn't care. We have 18 championships. Hopefully, soon we'll have 18. We'll have the most championships. The Celtics are our side. The Celtics are our main rival. The Clippers are just a little baby that we're taking care of at babysitting at Staples. They're getting their new stadium suiting here in Inglewood. So we're their little babysitter. I'm not tripping about the Clippers. The Celtics are always our main rival.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate the point. That broke down dead even. That was 50-50. I was really worried. Hopefully, we will never have to make that choice.
That's a really good question, John. You could do a whole show on this. Yeah, literally, I could write. You could write a whole show on this because, like, to me, this is so clear that it should be the Clippers. Like, I'm from LA. Like, I root for LA.
Oh,
like,
please.
Come on, man.
Come on.
You're worried about their first year. You're right. They would be really loud.
Oh,
they
goodness.
Would.
They would.
And
be
congratulations to them if they win. You could be happy for them.
Yeah.
You can't be happy. It's like, if you're a Dodger fan, can you be happy for the Angels?
You obviously haven't been around Clipper Darryl, have you?
Yeah. I'll tell you
Clipper
what.
Darryl.
So do
Clipper
I, but my goodness.
I'm with Ramona, but Michael, I got to tell you, man, you almost convinced me to switch sides with your argument. That was very good. All right, coming up next, Michael's game. It's game of games.
About the Celtics and Lakers.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, time for Game of Games. Game of Games is sponsored by PowerPro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They're my plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. We've had a different winner every day this week. Ramona won on Monday. Michael won on Tuesday. Jorge won yesterday. Lindsay and I have yet to scratch this week. Today is Michael Thompson's game. Michael, what do you got?
We can go over because Adam's not here anymore, so it doesn't matter about timing.
No.
All right, the hated Celtics are in town, so let's hear what you people know about the two most historic franchises in NBA history. Your name's your buzzer, so just buzz in. Easy wants to start. What is the Celtics' current record?
John.
The
Celtics' current record is 29-26.
Very good. How many games are the Lakers behind Utah?
Momo. Five.
No.
I don't know.
Lindsay. Six.
No.
Jorge.
Four.
Jorge.
Four. No.
You can tell we're not Googling.
Yeah.
John,
I'll take a shot.
Yep.
John.
Yeah.
I will say, the only one we haven't guessed, I'll say eight.
Nope, seven. Nobody got it.
Ah, come on.
Who is the Celtics' highest paid player?
Momo.
Kemba
Walker.
Yes.
Very good, Ramona. Okay, so yeah. John has one. Ramona has one. Lindsay and Jorge yet to scratch.
How? All of you can guess on this one. Closest to the number. How much is Kemba Walker being paid this year?
Momo.
How much?
$35 million.
Yeah, John.
I don't think it's that much. I'm gonna go $31 million.
Lindsay.
I'm gonna go $32.5 million.
And Jorge.
$28 million.
Momo wins $34 million.
There it is.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
What is a Celtic?
Momo. Someone from a land like Ireland.
Yes, the culture of Ireland. That's right.
How did I miss that?
I know.
It's like me missing tacos.
The Celtic
man. Come on.
Land, the Celtic culture. Yeah.
What is a Laker?
John.
Momo.
John.
It is a ship. The ships that used to travel along the lakes outside Minneapolis.
Yeah, a cargo ship.
Yeah.
How many retired numbers do the Celtics have? Just guess the number.
Momo. I'm going to say 20.
Yes. Jeez.
Wow. Is that right?
How many retired numbers do the Lakers have?
John. Nine.
No.
Jorge.
Momo.
Jorge.
12.
No.
Lindsay. 11.
Yes.
Oh. Whoa. Oh. I was going to let everybody guess and then pick it if it doesn't.
The Celtics won a championship with six different head coaches. Name them.
Oh, I'm not going to do that.
John.
Red Auerbach.
Yes.
Do I got to get all six?
Yes.
Okay, Red Auerbach, Tommy Heinsohn.
Yes.
Doc Rivers.
Yes.
Now this is where it gets tough.
Three more left.
All right, I think Bill Russell won
as
a coach.
As a player coach, yes.
All right.
Two left, one black, one white.
I'm going to say the white one was Bill Fitch.
Yes.
And the black one was Casey Jones.
Very good.
Dang, that's good. Oh, I knew Casey.
Bill Russell has the most NBA rings with 11. Which Celtic has the second most rings?
John.
John.
I'm going to guess Sam Jones.
Very good. How many does he have? You know, 10.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, so Ramona, we're tied 4-4.
Okay.
The Lakers have had 5 coaches who have won a title. Name them.
John.
John.
Momo. Oh. Dang, you're
okay.
Fast. All right.
Bill Sharman.
Yep.
Pat Riley.
Yep.
Phil Jackson.
Yep.
Frank Vogel.
And one more.
He was interim, but you're looking for Paul Westhead.
No.
Wait, he did. He won the 82 title.
You're right. You're right.
All right. So.
No.
Right.
We got a minute left. Colby played for 7 head coaches. Name them in order.
Oh, okay. Momo.
Momo.
Del Harris.
Yes.
Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Rudy Tom. No, no, wait. In order. Okay. Rudy Tom. Frank Hamp. No.
Head coaches,
Frank
not
Hamlet.
Interim.
Not interim. Okay,
just head coaches.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yep.
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yep.
Mike Brown. Well, yep. Do we have to say Phil Jackson again?
Yep.
Mike D'Antoni.
Yep.
Byron Scott.
Yep. And one more.
And Byron Scott.
One more.
John.
Frank Vogel.
Luke Walton.
Yep,
Frank
Luke.
Vogel.
John for the steal.
What? Wait. He didn't play for Frank Vogel.
No, but you didn't get Luke Walton.
You didn't get Luke.
Byron Scott was the coach in his last game.
Oh, Ramona's right.
Oh, yeah, Ramona got it. That's right.
All right, last one, Michael, to win it.
Closest to the number.
Okay.
Y'all can guess. How much did Dr. Buss buy the Lakers for in the
Momo.
$67
million
pack? John.
Momo.
How much?
$86
million. No.
Oh.
I'm going to say $50
million. No.
Lindsay.
Momo.
$1 billion.
No.
No.
This is 1979.
I don't know.
Michael, it's either Rhea or Ramona. What's the number?
George didn't guess yet.
No, but it doesn't matter. We
doesn't matter. We're over. Let's go.
What'd you guess, John?
50.
And what did Momo guess?
86.
He paid $20 million for the Lakers.
All right, I win. Ramona by one.
Wait, it was a whole purchase.
We got to go. Jorge, Irina, Sedano, LZ, and Cap next. 710 ESPN.